Tonight we are kicking off the first of three in our September series, and this series is entitled Trust. Trust, it's our intention, our community intention for the month of September here at Sacred Chill. And I was plotting a different course when I first started thinking about trust and what I wanted to talk about. And then over the weekend, I was listening to a podcast, and one of the people being interviewed very offhandedly, with no preface, just happens to mention, well, trust is the opposite end of the spectrum from shame. And it really stopped me in my tracks because I hadn't put those pieces together. And the moment he said that, I felt like, oh, that's so true. And so that's where we're starting tonight, okay? Trust being the opposite end of the spectrum from shame. So we'll start just with a little bit about shame, and I'm not gonna go into too much detail about it, but I'm using the definition that Brené Brown uses. She is, I think, one of the most experts on shame research in the country. And she defines shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing we are flawed, believing we're unworthy of acceptance or belonging. And her research goes on to show that the majority of us experience shame on some level throughout our lives, okay? For some people, maybe that word doesn't resonate, so I want to give another option as well. If you feel like, I don't know that shame is what I'm feeling, the other thing the majority of us experience in our lives is something called the negativity bias. And the negativity bias is this belief in every moment that it's a problem needing to be fixed. Every moment we approach with, I need to adjust this thing. If it could just be like this, if I was different in some way, then it would be okay. So both of these, right, whether you're coming at it with the lens of shame or the lens of just simple negativity, both of these are putting us in a place of treating every moment of our lives as if it was a problem, as if we were the one that was wrong or the moment itself is wrong. And trust is now the antithesis. Trust is asking us to move so fully into the moment that we actually believe the moment is complete. Okay? I wanna just interject a little caveat here, because I only give myself about 10 minutes to talk before we meditate. And that's a big statement to say that the moment is complete. And I'm making that statement tonight on the assumption that our basic needs are met. Shelter, food, general safety, health, I'm making that assumption for tonight. And it's not that these teachings don't apply if that's not true. It just means that it needs more discussion, more than I'm gonna do this evening. So if you wanna go into a deeper discussion around it privately after class or send me an email, I would love to do that with you. But for tonight's sake, we're just sort of lightly dipping a toe into this. And trust being the moment is complete. I'm not gonna ask you to go there 100% tonight, but we're gonna start with what's the first step to getting there. And for tonight, what we're gonna look at is the idea that most of us are going through our humdrum lives, the way that they unfold every single day in our habitual stories and reactions and thoughts, just as they tend to go. And something, some voice, some thing, some urge is pushing us to wake up. And I know it's true because you all showed up tonight at 6:15 on a Monday to meditate. Right? So there's something there that was like, there's more, or different, or better, or what? There's an urge to wake up. So it's pushing us to do something a little bit differently, right? And we're gonna call that for tonight intention. And there are usually two types of intentions out there. The first one, the one we're most familiar with, is what I'm gonna call egoic intention. And that tends to be like goals. It's like an action item. You can achieve this in 90 days. You can write it on a list and later check it off. But what we're talking about on this path towards trust, on this path towards knowing the moment is complete, is a liberating intention. It's not a goal. It's not an action item. It's something a little bit deeper than that. So examples of liberating intentions could be to know compassion, to listen deeply, to experience oneness with others. They are things that feel more intangible and also are possible in this exact moment. Nothing has to change or be different or be fixed for that liberating intention to be. It just is a possibility. It is here and innate within all of us. It may require waking up, but it's already here. These types of intentions draw us out of those limiting beliefs around shame or around negativity bias. They draw us out of the little habits that we formed over a lifetime in the way we think and the way we react. The other piece, all of these intentions ask us to listen more deeply. In that same podcast that I referenced, it was, I don't remember who was being interviewed, but it was a podcast from On Being with Krista Tippett, should you also want to listen. And in the same one, the person speaking about shame and trust was speaking about prayer. And he said, you know, I spent all these years praying and talking to God, and one day very clearly I heard a voice say, would you shut up now? Right? Stop talking and listen. That was his experience, but I feel that it fits very much with meditation. We often sit, we've had the urge to wake up, to pay more attention. And then we sit down and we're like, okay, meditating. Don't think, don't think, don't think, and then I'm gonna, and my intention is gonna be, and I'm now gonna be this person in the world, and the next time my partner does this, I'm gonna react like this, right? We do the whole story. And our practice is the invitation now just to listen, to let go of all the expectation around how this is going to make us be in the world, and instead just settle back in. So our practice tonight, as we meditate, is to perhaps listen for that liberating intention. You might already know it. Some people are just like, this is it for me, I know what it is, done. There are other people, myself included, that to this day I continue to ask that question. Sometimes I feel like maybe I get a bit of an answer. Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm not sure that's true or not true. I'm still listening. And I just say that because I encourage you not to spend 20 minutes waiting for a word to pop in your head. That's not the purpose of our meditation. The purpose is simply to ask the question and listen, okay? You might notice as we meditate, especially if you start to do this regularly, you might notice how in meditation you really can see that negativity bias pop up, right? So we sit, we close our eyes, and the meditation is what it is. Maybe there's a lot of thinking, so you're like, oh, if I could just stop thinking. If my back just didn't hurt so much, I could really enjoy this experience. That's our negativity bias talking, right? So we could just listen to that, notice that experience, and then see what happens if we got a little bit more intentional. So let's practice tonight together, yes? Take a moment if your legs were already crossed, uncross them, cross them the other way. Let your hands rest down onto your lap. You'll want your palms to face down. And you can let your eyes close. If that feels uncomfortable tonight, you can always just stare softly at the ground. And we're just going to take a moment to settle in here this evening with a breath. So a nice deep inhale in. Release a sigh. Let's do that again. Deep inhale in. And a sigh. And now we let our breath go. Nice easy inhales and exhales here, just breathing naturally. And you'll take a second here just to let yourself land. To let the words and ideas and the day that's kind of swirling around us just to be here to settle. And perhaps you notice underneath all those words and ideas how you're feeling tonight. What mood are you in? And the beauty of this practice is there is nothing to change. We get to just sit down and be here. So feel that. Feel yourself sit down. Let your hips relax, your thighs. Maybe feel a little bit of weight settle back so that your spine feels tall and strong. You could roll your shoulders back and down. And just gently feel the back of the neck lengthen. The muscles through the face relax, through the forehead, the eyes, the jaw. And feel a couple of easy breaths across your shoulders. Maybe you notice the breath moving through your chest, however that feels. Feeling breath down in your belly, letting your belly soften a bit here. You don't have to pull in, you don't have to engage. How does it feel to breathe with a soft belly? The back of our body is tall and awake. It's reminding us to stay present. And the front of our body is soft, reminding us just to listen. And somewhere here, you'll see if you can feel your breath. For me, I can usually feel it right inside the nose. For others, it could be at the lips or in the throat. There's no right or wrong there. You're just trying to feel your breath. You don't have to describe the breath. You don't have to narrate it to yourself or explain it. Just let yourself feel it. And whatever distractions arise, thoughts, worries, sounds, you just let them be here. They're part of the experience. You notice, and you come back to feeling the breath. You get pulled away, and you come back to feeling the breath. And as we move into a period of silence this evening, we'll let ourselves simply listen. Feeling the breath and noticing what arises. Just gradually deepening your breath here. And taking a moment to simply take stock of your body, of your thoughts, your emotions. Just notice your experience. Together as a group here, nice deep inhale in. Open up your mouth, let go of a sigh. Take your time to wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes, let your eyes gradually open back up. Just taking all the space you need to come back into this room. Bringing in any movement that you need to bring in. As we let go of our practice, I just want to circle back to say one thing. I mentioned that there were two types of intentions, egoic and liberating. And what I left out was that neither is bad. When I first started meditating, very much my intention was, I just want to calm down, right? I just wanted to feel better. And it was very much, I would put that in the egoic intentions. Like that's something I could sort of track and measure and check off at some point. Yes, I am feeling better now. There is nothing wrong with that type of intention, right? I went right into that liberating intention. And sometimes, especially at the start of a practice like meditation, we're not in that space yet where compassion is the intention, right? Our intention is, can I get through the day? And that's okay too. So hold space for whatever it may be, wherever you are in your practice at this moment and what that intention needs to be. Let that be the case. It evolves, it shifts, it changes over time, right? We're just starting to take our steps towards greater trust. Tonight was intention. Next Monday is attention. I look forward to talking to you about it. Thank you guys for being here. Namaste.